of course, you start wondering. It's like you start asking yourself, what am I going to preach about? And there was one word that had come to my mind, and that was compassion. And so that's kind of been going through my mind. And last Sunday, we got the call that Jesse had water in his house. And so obviously, it's like, yeah, it's like, we need to go help. So we jumped in and got there. We started going. We were in there cleaning out. It was probably halfway through. And all of a sudden, it was like, I mean, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. And I quit handing my phone to Kendall, and I said, get some pictures. And so we didn't get many pictures, but we did get a few. But I just want to say, too, thank y'all. And I'm going to say everybody. Dale said guys, but I know there was at least one lady that came and helped as well. I know Amy was there, and it was everybody. And I just want to say thank y'all for coming and helping. And I like Curtis mentioned it before, and Dale mentioned it, but yeah, it feels good, and I'm proud of y'all. So thank y'all for your help. So this morning, as we think about compassion, and I know it's not just with Jesse's house, it's not just with Myro, I know all of you reach out in many ways, and this morning I want to just bless you all and say, keep it up. And obviously, as we look forward to going to Myro, this is on our mind, and it's kind of, with that in mind, I think that's probably kind of what brought that word to my mind. But as we talk about compassion this morning, as I started looking into Scripture, and in the New Testament, there are 9-10 places, I believe it is, in the New Testament that this word compassion is used. It means to have the bowels yearn, feel deep pity from within. One definition says, being moved at one's gut level by the pain or bliss of another that makes one respond in a way to ease their suffering or promote their bliss. I'll start out with a story of a little girl. She was playing with her doll, and she says to her grandma, Dolly lost her cat. To which her grandma asks the girl, did you tell Dolly how sad you feel about that? The little girl replies, why should I feel sad about that? She's the one who lost the cat. She had an awareness of a problem, but she had little compassion. Compassion comes from deep within. If we look at the word compassion in the New Testament, I believe compassion all the times are used in the Gospels. 6 of the times are where Jesus was moved with compassion. And then in 3 of the times, it's where Jesus told a story and used that same word compassion in it. And there was one time in the Gospels that this word compassion was used, that they were begging Jesus to show this kind of compassion. That was the boy with the unclean spirit. Jesus' life was full of compassion. As we read story after story, how he healed, how he looked after people in his life was full of compassion. But this morning, I'd like to draw our attention to these, to the ones that where this word compassion was used. So the first one this morning, if we'll turn to Matthew 9, verse 35. Matthew 9, verse 35, and I'll back up just a little bit, and in the different stories, in the different ways, different times that Jesus showed this compassion, it was in different happenings of life, different things that were going on, that he was moved to this kind of compassion. Matthew 9, verse 35, And Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest." Jesus was moved to compassion for the people. He was preaching the gospel, he was healing, but he was moved to greater compassion when he saw the people. He saw lost people, he saw many people ready to receive the good news of the gospel. And he called the disciples to pray for laborers, to pray for those that will go and spread the gospel. It's as urgent today as it was then to share the good news to others. Jesus shows his desire in Matthew 18 for the lost. And this is in the story where he was speaking about the shepherd, one sheep gone astray, and he left the 99 going after the lost. And it says, "So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." The lost moved Jesus to compassion. The second one is in Matthew 14, verse 13. And this story comes following the beheading of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was just beheaded here, and the disciples had taken the body and buried it. And then it says, "Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there into a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot in the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away, go into the village and buy food for themselves.' But Jesus said, 'They need not go away. You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'We only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, 'Bring them to me.' And he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." Here Jesus had compassion on the sick. A persistent crowd, hungry and seeking. When Jesus came back in to find a crowd following him, pursuing him, and he was moved to compassion, and he healed, and he fed them. This scene also recalls the children of Israel with the 12 baskets. It recalls the children of Israel wandering in the wilderness and God's gracious provision for them. These 12 baskets may symbolize the 12 tribes of Israel, but it also describes the abundance of God's provision. Jesus had compassion when he saw the persistence and hunger of the people. The next one is in Matthew 15, verse 32. Now Jesus, in this story here, Jesus had just got done healing many people. He had healed the lame, the crippled, the blind, the mute. If you back up and read of that, just ahead of this, and many others that Jesus healed. And then in verse 32, it says, "Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, 'I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way.' The disciples said to him, 'Where are we going to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd?' Jesus said to them, 'How many loaves do you have?' They said, 7 and a few small fish. And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and having gave thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 7 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. And after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went into the region of Magadan." in this time, Jesus was moved to compassion by the physical needs of the people. They had been without food for 3 days, and he was concerned about their physical needs. Again, we see Jesus deeply caring about each area of our life, including one's physical needs. As people sought after them, he supplied their needs. The next one we have is in Matthew 20, verse 29. This story just coming up, or if the what's around this story here, Jesus is just about to enter into Jerusalem on the triumphal entry. And as they were headed to Jericho, in verse 29, as they went out to Jericho, a great crowd followed him. And behold, there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd rebuked them, telling them, "Be silent." But they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." And stopping, Jesus called to them and said, "What do you want me to do?" They said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be open." And Jesus, in pity or compassion, touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. This word pity, if you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, actually translates over to the same word compassion. Regardless of what Jesus was facing himself, the rejection from his own people, yet he continued to care and show compassion and be moved to compassion for others. It didn't matter what he was facing. He still had compassion and love for all. The next one is in Mark 1, verse 40. Mark 1, verse 40. So then a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity or compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and spread the news so that Jesus would no longer enter a town, but was in a desolate place, and people were coming to him from every quarter. This man was a leper. These two men were lepers. They were outcasts. They were rejected by society. But Jesus understands. Jesus was moved with compassion. In Isaiah 53:3, it says, "He was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not." Jesus understood what it was to be rejected. Jesus had compassion. He restored him back to social acceptance. The next one is in Luke 7. Verse 11. Luke 7, verse 11 says, "Soon afterward he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. And as he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, 'Do not weep.' Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, 'A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people.' And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. In this account, Jesus was moved by the grief of this widow. He understands our grief. As I read this story, it kind of intrigued me that Jesus came and he touched the coffin. The bier is what, if you look that up, it's what they call the coffin. It was an open plank that they carried someone to the graveside on. And he walked up and he touched the coffin. And it says, when he touched the coffin, they all stood still. The procession was over. He was not concerned. The last one that we talked about, the two lepers, and again this one, of touching a dead person, he was not concerned about the ceremonial uncleanness. He was not made unclean, but the unclean were made whole. Jesus was moved by grief and sorrow. Jesus was a perfect example of compassion. Now, for the last little bit, the last three stories that Jesus told were how we respond, or how we are to respond with compassion, and how the Father sees us. The first one is in Luke 15, verse 11. And it's the parable of the prodigal son. And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. There he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion. And he ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead, and it is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. I'm going to stop there. Each of us have been where this lost son was. We have gone astray. We went our own way. God the Father, when we came to our senses, was just like this father. While we are a long way off, he felt compassion. If you are this person today, God is waiting and will move with compassion when we come home. The next one on how we are to show compassion is in Matthew 18, verse 21. Matthew 18, 21, and Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? And Jesus said, I do not say unto you seven times, but 70 times seven. I'm going to pause there just for a second. Peter was feeling pretty generous here. If you were to look at for Judaism, three was sufficient for showing a forgiving spirit, and so seven was over doubling what you should have had, what you would have expected. So he was feeling pretty generous here. And then Jesus says 70 times seven. But then he went on and said, therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed 10,000 talents. And I think somewhere I read, I think it was somewhere, that was somewhere around 6 billion, something like that. It's up there pretty high. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all he had, and payment be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay everything. And out of pity or compassion for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii and seized him, and he began to choke him, saying, pay all that you owe. So his fellow servants fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to the master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said, you wicked servant, I forgave you the debt because you pled with me. Should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Jesus forgave more than we could ever pay back. It was no longer on how many times, but looking at the amount of forgiveness that has been given to us and to give that forgiveness to others. He called us to freely forgive others as we have been forgiven. And then in Luke 10, verse 29, and this is the parable of the Good Samaritan. It says, and behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit life, eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw me, passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, then set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? He said, the one who showed mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. He called us to look out for the good of others. May we be that Samaritan, showing kindness, care, compassion to those that we come in contact with, those that we meet from day to day. We can't do everything Jesus did, but let us do all that we can to show compassion. Again, compassion, being moved at one's gut level by the pain or bliss of another that makes us respond in a way to ease their suffering or promote their bliss. Simply looking out for others. Again, I want to bless each one of you. I know you, each one of you show that compassion. And I just want to bless each one of you and say, keep it up in the many ways that you do it. A few days ago, I was driving home with my 4-year-old, and I'm not sure how the conversation went, but we were talking, and they wondered if Jesus laughed. And I said, I think he laughed. And so we talked about the one story that popped in my head was the man at the pool of Siloam. And I said, I think when he stood up and was able to walk, and the surprise, and the same way here again in our story today, where Jesus, the widow, was weeping, and the surprise when the man rose from the dead and he was there with them again. I believe Jesus laughed. I can just imagine the widow hugging her son, amazed at what took place, and Jesus smiling. And today, I think as we show compassion on others, those that we come in contact with and we meet with others, we also will make Jesus smile as we show his compassion to those that we come in contact with. So may God bless you as you go. Show compassion with those that you come in contact with. And may God bless you as you serve him. Reuben, do you have a song?
In the Faith and Praise, 121.
All right. In the Faith and Praise, 121. If you'll stand, we'll pray. Thank you, Father, this morning for your compassion that you have showed as you walked on this earth, and God, the compassion that you showed toward us as that Father that was waiting for us to come home, and you were waiting and showed compassion and forgiveness. And God, I just pray that as we go from day to day, as we go through life, that you would help us to see the needs of others and to show that compassion to others. And God, I just pray that you would bless each one here for the compassion that they do show. And God, I just pray that you would bless each one as we go from here, as we go through this life, help us to live a life that shows you to others and to reach out to others. And again, we thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.